Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Next week in New Jersey, drivers will be able to opt into a pay-as-you-drive insurance plan. Instead of a lump sum payment, your insurance would be priced per mile. Now, this seems like a great idea to drivers who want to save money and to environmentalists alike, since it provides further incentive to drive less. But the catch is a high-tech monitoring device will be strapped to your car and will track your every move. Yes, you knew there was a catch there. Richard Hutchinson, the general manager of usage-based insurance at Progressive, and Jason Bordoff of the Brookings Institution explain this new plan and if we should opt in. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jason, let's start with you. The Brookings Institute took a look at this plan. You estimate that two-thirds of people will save on insurance under this system. How did you calculate that, and why do you think this is a good idea?
Well, we calculated that based on what we know about how much driving people do today, and currently a minority of drivers do most of the driving. 20% of drivers are responsible nationwide for 45% of all miles driven. What that means is, because we price auto insurance for the most part today in a lump sum amount per year, two drivers are going to pay roughly similar premiums if they're in the same risk category, even if one drives 5,000 and another 50,000 miles a year. That means that low mileage drivers are subsidizing the cost of insurance for high mileage drivers. And we take, you know, the available evidence about how much people are driving, and we calculate that if people paid for auto insurance per mile driven rather than in this lump sum amount, that cross-subsidization would go away, and about two-thirds of drivers would end up better off. And we also know that low-income people tend to drive less on average, and they would save especially.
It's already in place in Alabama, Minnesota, Oregon, and Michigan. How's it doing there?
It is off and running. It's what we're seeing is that one out of three drivers, when presented the option of adding this device to their vehicle, are taking it in return for the opportunity to earn significant discounts. We're seeing lower losses from the people who are in the program, as well as higher retention, so we're encouraged.
Well, Richard Hutchinson, what's the upside then for you? If two-thirds of people are saving money, that means you're making less money. Why is Progressive offering this plan?
Because fundamentally we think it's a good idea. We think that there are many consumers out there who've been asking for quite some time for relief in their auto insurance rates, and this allows them to tell their story to us, and their story is their quantity and their quality of their driving. And with this device, they can tell that story. And so, you know, for them, if they in fact deserve deeper discounts, they're a good customer, and, you know, we're glad to have them. And the other advantage to Progressive is, you know, there are many good customers out there, safe drivers, who are not currently Progressive insured, so we'd love to have them in our company.
Ah, that's right. You're currently the only insurance company offering this?
We are currently the only insurance company who's offering it through a device. You have GMAC Insurance, which works with OnStar, which is a subsidiary of General Motors that has a mileage discount program that's validated through the OnStar telematics device.
And why did you decide to make this investment and take this leap?
Again, fundamentally, we thought it was a good idea, and that's part of our culture at Progressive is, you know, we've always been innovators, and so, you know, we decide, okay, let's get in this and see if there's truly advantages here. And what we've done over the last decade is we've been in a number of states, and we've accumulated over 200 million miles of driving history, and we've seen that there's, you know, quite a bit of prediction of who has a claim based on their driving behavior. Mm-hmm. So we think it's, you know, it's an insight into predicting losses that's otherwise not available.
We can take callers, New Jersey drivers especially. Are you going to sign up for this? Give us a call at 646-778-3729. That's 646-SPUDRAY. Would you let your insurance company monitor the way you drive? Dave from New Brunswick, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Good morning. Dave?
Hello?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, how open is this going to be to Big Brother watching our every move as we drive?
Well, I'd like to respond for that from a progressive standpoint. We're not watching every move. Our device does not have a GPS-enabled chip in there, so we don't know where you are. What we're tracking is the time of day that you're operating your vehicle, the mileage that you're driving, as well as we're looking at your sudden starts and stops. But we're not tracking, you know, where you are. We don't know that.
Okay,
I would just add one important point.
Thank you, Dave. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jason Bordoff.
I was just going to add one important point, if I could, which is, you know, the paper that we released here at Brookings talked about pricing, the effect of pricing auto insurance per mile, the incentive that would create to reduce vehicle miles traveled. We estimate about an 8% reduction in vehicle miles traveled nationwide. That's a 2% reduction in carbon emissions, a 4% reduction in oil consumption. But what we looked at was pricing auto insurance per mile. That's different than what Progressive is proposing, which is not only pricing auto insurance based on how much you drive, but based on how you drive, how aggressively you drive and all of that.
Yeah.
So we were looking at one aspect, but not quite as broad as what Progressive's talking about.
Yes. Richard Hutchinson, would you explain that a little bit more? How do you monitor that stuff? How does this device work? And how do you calculate it into my rate?
Okay, well, you know, Jason's point, one of the things that this device monitors is it monitors your speed per second. So with that, you can track, you know, the overall mileage, but it allows you to do more than that. You can also see if there's a sudden acceleration or sudden deceleration or a braking event, and we perceive that as an insight into people's actual driving behavior, how they drive. And then the device also accesses the clock of the vehicle, so we know the time of day that they're operating. So,
how does that make a difference, though, in time of day versus my risk as a driver?
Well, there's been many studies completed by different groups that, in essence, show that, you know, nighttime driving is the riskiest driving that there is out there per vehicle miles traveled. So if you have someone who has a profile which is much more night driving than your average driver, they represent a higher risk. Or conversely, you know, someone who doesn't drive at night is a lower risk.
Do I get penalized if I'm, say, commuting from New Jersey into New York City? I drive fast. I'm driving 55, 60 miles per hour on the highways. I'm driving long distances. Does that penalize me versus, say, a New York City driver who might be traveling, much to Mayor Bloomberg's chagrin, from Brooklyn into Manhattan, short distance, a lot of stopping and starting, not going at very high speeds?
Well, there's a lot of studies on speed, and there's a difference of view, but Progressive's position is we don't perceive it as being a significant predictor. So we don't look at mileage or speed in terms of predicting, you know, your ultimate discount. We're much more interested in the starting and the stopping. And what we do there is we measure you relative to other people in your environment. So that could be your state. And, you know, what we look to see is are you starting and stopping more or less than the other guy? And if, let's say, it's less, then, you know, our perception is that you're showing a more defensive driving profile and deserve a discount for that.
Ralph from Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Ralph.
Hi, nice to be here. I'm penalized heavily because I live in Hudson County, New Jersey, and I rarely drive my car. I mean, I live in Jersey City. I work in Hoboken. I don't even drive to work. I put about 7,000 miles on my car a year, and I'm still paying some of the highest insurance possible. I think it was $1,600 last year, and my insurance went up despite the fact I have two children under the age of three, and I'm 37 years old. So this program is very interesting to me, but I was also interested in how you're going to, I mean, speeding, is that going to figure in? Is this device going to be able to, it seems like it's going to be able to tell when I'm speeding and when I'm not speeding and sudden braking and everything, and I just wonder how that's going to play into my driving in an urban environment where you do sometimes have to brake quickly and you do sometimes have to speed up. I'm just very interested in this program.
Richard,
well, I would say based on, you know, your self-reported quantity of driving, you'd be a great candidate for this type of program. As for the speeding piece, we're not, as I said, you know, we're not looking at speeding. what we are looking at is your sudden braking and your sudden acceleration, and our definition of that is, you know, 7 miles per hour per second. So it would be a very strong event. And again, we're just comparing you to other people in your environment. So so let's say you drove very little, but you know you accelerate and you stop more aggressively than others, the program could neutralize the benefit of your low mileage. However, if you're braking and your acceleration is at or below others in your area and you're driving less miles, you could have a very significant discount. So,
Rebecca from Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Rebecca.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to thank WNYC for running this 20-minute long commercial for Progressive Insurance.
Okay. Thank you, Rebecca, for that call.
I would just say in
call.
Response to that,
yes,
that the study that we did at Brookings obviously was in no way connected with Progressive. It's an idea that we came across in the context of trying to think about ideas to address our climate and energy challenges and reduce how much people drive. The effect, because the price per mile of the premium would be higher in New York and New Jersey, is even greater. So we estimate an 8% reduction in how much people drive around the country. It would be over 12%. In the tri-state region. And unlike all these other ideas to reduce driving, congestion pricing, carbon taxes, oil taxes, all of which make good economic sense, but we see how publicly difficult they are to implement because they raise the cost of driving for everyone, here's a way to get a driving reduction that actually saves two-thirds of people money. So it's sort of a win-win policy idea.
And just to point out to the Rebeccas in our audience, this is a program that's being rolled out for New Jersey drivers on August 8th. There's going to be a national rollout of this kind of program through 2008 and 2009. People are really feeling the pinch at the pumps, and this is something that is certainly that, Jason Bordoff, you describe as a way of helping people reduce their cost of driving. I know in New Jersey they're considering, or there's been some talk of raising the gasoline tax as another way of certainly subsidizing transportation projects in New Jersey, but also as a way of maybe discouraging drivers and encouraging more mass transit. So it's one of the many ways of congestion pricing that are out there. We're going to be talking about some more of them for the airlines coming up in our next segment. We'll take another call. Nick from Cliffside Park, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Right. A question and a suggestion. If there's an emergency event where you have to stop the car short to not hit a kid or something, should you write up an incident report justifying that? And the suggestion is, why not take the next step and put devices in the car that record visually everything that you see and do in the car as you're driving, so that if there is an accident, you'll know immediately who's at fault and who is not. And I think that's, I wouldn't even object to that. If everybody was subject to that, it would change the way people drive immensely, wouldn't it?
Thank right. you, Nick, for that call.
Well, I guess I would comment to that, which is, on an individual instance, you need to do what you need to do to be safe. So a sudden stop, would not hurt you necessarily. We look at your driving in aggregate over a 12-month period. So, in an individual instance, you need to do what you need to do. And then with regards to, putting whether it be cameras in cars or GPS, all that technologically can be done. The big issue there is consumer acceptance, and there's a lot of concern from consumers as to how far they want to go with this kind of technology.
Richard Hutchinson from Progressive, before we wrap this up, who should not opt into this plan?
Well, I think, from our standpoint, it would be someone who does a lot of driving and who perceives themselves as more of an aggressive driver. Under our program, that would not be to their benefit. And then, again, if there's listeners out there, consumers who have, high concerns with sharing their driving data with their insurance carrier and they're just philosophically opposed, they should not do this type of program.
And Jason Bordoff from the Brookings Institute, just to wrap things up with you, most state regulations do not permit pay-as-you-drive insurance. Why is that, and would the state lose any money by offering this? If Progressive is taking the risk of maybe not making as much in insurance from people who save using this system, any risk for the state?
Well, actually, we show that there would be a net savings for the state, and we go through this in the paper in the form of we're going to see reduced accidents, and that's probably the largest form. We estimate a net social benefit nationwide of between $50 and $60 billion from reduced accidents, congestion, carbon emissions, et cetera. Accidents is the biggest component of that, so you have reduced medical services, reduced lost tax revenue from people who are injured and can't go to work.
So you see no downside.
Lower emergency services. So the downside is that, you know, when two-thirds of drivers save because you eliminate this cross-subsidy, one-third of drivers are going to pay more. Now, that, I think, accurately reflects the increased risk that they pose, and they're not paying for it today. The last point I would make is just that you don't necessarily need a device if all you're tracking is miles traveled, and that's what we're kind of focused on because of the big social benefits there. You could do that when you bring your car in for its annual safety or emissions inspection. You can get an odometer reading or something. Again, a little bit different from what Progressive is talking about.
Jason Bordoff of the Brookings Institution, along with Richard Hutchinson, the general manager of usage-based insurance at Progressive. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, congestion pricing for the skies. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC.